Morning. Today's daf in Yevamos Daf Dalad. We start the new Masechta. So our topic of discussion has been the mitzvah of Yibum as it relates to the Isser of Arayos. A Mishnah outlined 15 different scenarios in which the woman that presents herself in the mitzvah of Yibum is also an erva as well. As we point out in the introduction to the Masechta, every time you will have a woman who is who presents herself for Yibum, she's an erva. One of the arayos in the Torah is Eshetach. A man's not allowed to marry the wife of his brother. In the circumstance where his brother dies with children, or in a circumstance where she divorces her brother, so she's an erva. She's prohibited to her brother-in-law by punishment of kares. If it's done b'mezid, if it was done intentionally. So every time there's a mitzvah of yibum, there's an erva scenario. But the Torah is matir. The Torah says that's allowed. But if there's any other erva that's connected to her, notably the 15 that I mentioned in the Mishnah, so then the Isser of Arayos is going to override the mitzvah in the Torah of Yibum. Okay, that's what we learned in the Mishnah. Yesterday the Gemara touched on a number of statements that were made in the Mishnah which seemed to be difficult to understand. Why the Mishnah say Chamesh Yisrei Nashim? Why the Mishnah give us a number 15? Why did the Mishnah say potros? They exempt. The word potros seems to be a little bit weak. Why don't we say the word aser, which in fact is a better description of what these women are? They're prohibited to their brother-in-laws. And a couple of other points that the Gemara outlined yesterday. And good. That takes us to where we're up to right now, and that is Minahan Emili. The Gemara now wants to know, we're on Gimel Amud Beis, and we're about 8 lines from the top of the Amud. And the Gemara over here has a very simple question, and that is, how do we know? How do I know that the Isser of Erva is going to be overriding the mitzvah of Yibum? And furthermore, in the same Menahan Emili, when the Gemara is asking this question, also the question of Tzara as well. As we learned back in the Mishnah, if let's say when Shimon dies not only being survived by one wife, but two wives. One wife is, let's say, the daughter of Reuven. We're going to go back to the first example of the Mishnah, the easiest example of the Mishnah. So Shimon married his niece, Reuven's daughter, his brother Reuven's daughter. And let's say Shimon married another woman as well. Okay, and Shimon dies, and now being survived by two wives. So not only is Reuven's daughter, who is a Yavama to him now, not only is she going to be prohibited, but the co-wife as well is going to be prohibited. And that co-wife is what's referred to as a Tsaras Erva, the co-wife of an Erva. And she also is now prohibited to Reuven. So how do we know that? And then, by the way, the Gemara is going to ask, in the same braisa that we're about to quote, another question, which is Tsara of Tsara, the co-wife of a co-wife. Right, in the scenario that we drew up already a number of times, but we keep going over the scenario, and eventually we're going to get it. Let's say there are three brothers, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, and let's say Shimon dies having been married to Reuven's daughter and another woman, and let's say Levi picks up one of the wives for the mitzvah of Yibum. Let's say Levi doesn't marry Reuven's daughter, his own niece, but let's say Levi marries the other woman, the tzara of the erva, the co-wife of the erva, and let's say Levi dies. So under such circumstances now, where the Levi's Yavama, the woman that he married, was a Tzaras Erva, so not only is she still going to be prohibited to Reuven, because she's the Tzara of an Erva, she was the co-wife of an Erva, but also the co-wife of the co-wife also is going to be prohibited to Reuven. So that means that Levi's second wife also is going to be prohibited as well, and all that is going to be addressed by this question. Now, Emily, how do I know this? Where's the source in the Torah for all of these halachas? So Tanna Rabbanan, the Gemara starts off. This braisa is going to basically cover all of Gimel Amud Beis. Isha lachos lo tikach litzrola galos erva sa aleha bechayeha. A woman and her sister, a man is not allowed to take litzror, as a litzror meaning as a co-wife. Legalos erva sa aleha bechayeha, as long as the sister is still alive. As I mentioned yesterday, this is the exception in the world of Arayos. In the world of Arayos, once an erva, always an erva. That's your rule. What's the exception to the rule? Sisters. A man is allowed to marry the sister of his wife only. Sister of his wife only under the conditions that his wife died. If he divorces his wife, his sister is prohibited to him. His sister is an erva. Okay. And that we learn from the word bechayeha. But right now, so the Gemara notes that we have the similar phraseology when it comes to the mitzvah of Yibum. It says, Yivama Yavo Alaha, Shameani, Afila Bachas Mikolares Amos Betara. So I would have thought that this would be true in a scenario where any one of the arise presents themselves to the Yavam. So Hakasim Adaber Namar Kan Alav Namar Lahalan Alav Malahalan B'Makom Mitzvah Afkam B'Makom Mitzvah V'Amar Rachman Alosi Kach. So the Gemara says, okay, but over there it says the word Aleha, meaning by the mitzvah of Yibum. Over here in the Arayos it says Aleha, and yet the Torah says Losikach, and the Torah says you're not allowed to take her. Meaning, if she presents herself as any other erva other than Eshazach, so the mitzvah in the Torah, the Isser in the Torah of Losikach takes place. The Ainle Alehi Tzarasuminai, and good. So now that's how I know that the Isser of Achos Isha would apply even in a Yibum context. Again, just to illustrate the scenario, two brothers marry two sisters. Okay, totally legitimate. And now one of the brothers dying. So his wife, now the widow, presents herself as a Yavama to her brother-in-law. So now she's got two arayas. Number one, she is his wife's sister. Number two, it's his brother's wife. Now the brother's wife, so Yibum would have resolved that issue. But in terms of his wife's sister, so that's what the drush is telling us. That because the word Aleha is used in both contexts, it tells me that even if it's a Yibum scenario, but the erva of Achos Isha is there, so she's not allowed to marry her brother-in-law, even if there's a Yibum scenario. Now that tells me that she's not allowed to marry. How about the co-wife? The word in the Torah Parshas Kedoshim Parshas Achrimos says Litzur. The Ainli Ella, which is a reference to the Tzar of the co-wife. The Ainli Ella Tzaras Minayan. Now, how do I know about the co-wife of a co-wife? In the scenario which I illustrated earlier, where it was Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. Levi ends up marrying the Tzaras Erva, the co-wife of the Erva. Levi dies, being survived by two wives. How do I know that Reuven can't marry both of Levi's wives, neither for the mitzvah of Yibum, not the co-wife of the Erva, and not the co-wife of the co-wife? So velo latzur, the double resh. When the Torah describes the tzara, the Torah doesn't just simply say latzur, which would have been enough to indicate the co-wife. It says litzur, that double resh. The double resh tells me, even if it is multiple tzaras, multiple co-wives, meaning even if it's a derivative of a co-wife, meaning the co-wife of a co-wife, still, it's all of them are going to be prohibited. Let me just finish the brisa. V'ainli alachos isha sharais minayin. Good. So now I have a pasuk which tells me that when a woman is an erva to her brother-in-law, other than eshazach, she is prohibited from performing the mitzvah of yibum. But that pasuk is only limited to the erva of achos isha, your wife's sister. How do I know that it would be applicable to any of the other arayos? Because remember, our mission went through 15 different arayos where it would be prohibited. So the Gemara's question over here is very simple. How do I know that that's true? So ma achos isha miyucheresh yirva v'chayavan al zdona karas v'al shigagasa chatas v'asur liyabam afkol shiyirva v'chayavan al zdona karas v'al shigagasa chatas asur liyabam. So the Gemara says, look at the properties. When it comes to achos isha, what are the properties of achos isha? So she's an erva, meaning she's in the parsha of arayos in achrimos and in kedoshin. A man who has relations with his wife's sister on purpose, intentionally, is subject to the punishment. And if done b'shogeg, okay, mistakenly, so that's a karban chatas. And she's prohibited to the yavam, so therefore all the other arayos that share the same property. This is what's known methodologically as binyanav. Basically, she sets the precedent. So v'ainli alav sarosei minayin. So amar ma'achva isha achos isha miyucheresh yerva chayav nazdona karis v'ashigas v'chatzav v'asur liyam mitzaras asura afkol sheyerva v'chayav nazdona karis v'ashigas v'chatzav v'asur liyam mitzaras asura. So the Gemara says, and what about Sarah? Gemara's answer is the same exact answer. Binyanav, it's a precedent. Meaning if the co-wife of the wife's sister is going to be exempted from the mitzvah of Yibum. The co-wife of any erva is also going to be exempted from the mitzvah of Yibum. Mikan amru chachamim chamesh asre nashim pachut tzaraseim v'tzarat tzaraseim min echalitza min ayim mamah sofa olam. And the Braisa says, and that's the source for our Mishnah, meaning that's where we get, now we know the background and the source for our Mishnah. Yachosh ani mar b'av shesha rayas chamurz me'elu ushiyei tzaraseim asturos. So the Gemara says, what about the six chamuros? What's the Gemara here referring to? The Mishnah coming up on Daf Yud Gimel, where the Mishnah over there is going to describe that there are six women who are do not fall under this category of the first 15, meaning basically there's a separation of 15 and 6, 21 arayos altogether, 15 in the first Mishnah, 6 in the next Mishnah. What's different about the next six? So ma achos isha miyached sheyerva v'chayav nazdan akars v'ashigah asuchatos v'eshel inasi la'achim v'asur liyabam v'tzaras asura av kol shuherva v'chayav nazdan akars v'ashigah asuchatos v'eshel inasi la'achim v'asur liyabam v'tzaras asura. So the Gemara says, look, because our Mishnah describing the 15, in all 15 of our scenarios, it is possible that in all 15 of these scenarios, another brother can marry the co-wife of an erva, meaning, again, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, three brothers. Shimon is married to his niece, Reuven's daughter, and to another woman. So if Shimon dies, so again, Reuven can't marry either. But Levi can. Levi can marry either his niece through the mitzvah of Yibum or the other co-wife. So that's the common denominator between all of our cases in our Mishnah. That's the 15. What about the 6 later on? Can't do it. Meaning, we'll see this later on, but just as a simple example. Let's say the mother presents herself to the other brothers. Well, if the mother presents herself to the other brothers, so she's going to be equally prohibited to all the other brothers. Okay, how did the first brother marry her? How did the deceased brother marry her? Again, stay tuned. We'll create scenarios for that. But again, that's the difference between the 15 and the 6. Yatsu sheish arayos chamurz me'elo hold the ef shali nasi la'achim tzaraseim mutaras. You see, as opposed to the other six, where in the case of the other six, the erva in those six cases are prohibited to all brothers equally, and because they're prohibited to all brothers equally, so the erva herself is going to be prohibited, but not the tsaras erva, not the co-wife. Shein tsara ela me'ach. Shein tsara ela me'ach. The tsara only is the result of the brother. So the Gemara says, okay, now that only gets me to the point of Isser, meaning now I know that in all these cases there's a prohibition. Onish minayin, what about the punishment? Meaning the Gemara over here is just assuming that we understand that there's a basic rule, that the punishment is only exercised if there's a pasuk in the Torah that explicitly states so. It is not enough that the Torah just simply says it's prohibited. The Torah also has to mention specifically that there's a punishment. Amakar ki kol asher yaseh mikol ha-toevos. So the Gemara says the pasuk at the end of Achrei Mos, anyone who does any of these actions, meaning that the Torah lumps all of them together, so just like Achos Isha, there's going to be a prohibition and a punishment, so too by all the other arayos in the Torah, there's going to be both a prohibition and a punishment as well. Period. Adkan, that's the end of the Braisa. So what do we learn in this Braisa? That the question on the table is, how do I know that in all these scenarios in our Mishnah, all 15 of them, if the erva presents herself for the mitzvah of Yibum, how do I know that there's no mitzvah of Yibum? In fact, not only is there no mitzvah of Yibum, but she is an erva and prohibited. We learn it from the pasuk of Achos Isha, generated by the couple of extra words in Achos Isha, the word Aleha, the word Litzur. Aleha is connecting me to Yibum, and Litzur is telling me about the Tzara and the Tzara Tzara. So basically, it's drashas. Drashas arrived me at the conclusion that in our Mishnah, in all 15 of the scenarios where the erva presents herself to the Yavam, she is going to be prohibited, and there will not be a mitzvah of Yibum. Okay, Adkan. That takes us to the end. That's where we should have gone to yesterday. That's the end of yesterday's daf, and now we're going to be starting a new topic. We're on the very bottom of Gimel Amud Beis. We're starting with the words Taima Dekasav, and here we go. We are now going to be discussing in the Gemara today and tomorrow a very basic discussion that really is a Shas discussion. It's a general discussion, and it is mostly discussed right here on today's daf and on tomorrow's daf. And that is the principle, the concept of Esei Docha Lo Saaseh, how a positive commandment overrides a negative prohibition. In the event that we have a intersection of what is a positive commandment, the Torah tells me to do something, but at the same time, in doing so, I'm going to be violating a negative prohibition. So what's going to outrule what? So the principle is Esei Docha Lo Saaseh. The positive commandment is going to override the negative prohibition. And that's what the Gemara's discussion is going to be. Why is the Gemara discussing it? Because think of what we're talking about right now. We're talking about where there's a conflict between the mitzvah of Yibum and the Issa of Arayus. Meaning this woman that presents herself. She is your wife's sister. Okay, again, two brothers married two sisters. So she's your wife's sister. So here we go. Your brother died. And she presents herself to you. So on one hand, I have a mitzvah of Yibum. On the other hand, she's an erva. What did the Mishnah say? The Isser of erva is going to trump the mitzvah of Yibum. So that's why now we're going to have a lengthy discussion in the Gemara about Esei Docha Lo Saaseh, because that's basically what we're talking about in our scenario over here. The general rule is that the positive commandment overrides the negative prohibition. Esei Docha Lo Saaseh. That's the general rule. There is a Ramban on Chumash. I quote a Ramban on Amud Beis, on Dav Beis. I'm going to quote a Ramban now again on Dav Dalet. I'm not going to read it inside. On Dav Beis, I read it inside. I should have brought it in. Okay, I apologize. The Ramban, I think it's in Shmos. I'm going to say Parshas Yisro. Okay, I should look it up. I shouldn't just quote it by memory. But the Ramban says why. It's a great Ramban. Why is it that a mitzvah saseh is docha lo saseh? So the Ramban says, it's famous, I feel like most everyone knows it. The Ramban says, because we know that mitzvah saseh describe our love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's avas Hashem. And the lo saseh and the negative prohibitions, that's yira. That's fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just as a simple example of this principle, this idea. We know that when it comes to your parents, so there's two mitzvahs when it comes to your parents. There's kibud av v'aim, you have to honor your parents, and there's yiras av v'aim, you have to fear your parents. Right? Ishi mava v'tiro. There's an issue in the Torah to fear your parents, or you want to call it a mitzvah, okay, either way. And there's a mitzvah in the Torah of honoring your parents. So the Gemara Kedushin says, give me examples of both. So the Gemara says, I'll give you examples of both. What are examples of kibud av v'aim? So the Gemara in Kedushin says, you dress them, malbisho, machniso, and the Gemara gives over there a whole list of things that you do for your parents because of the mitzvah of kibbut. And what about the mitzvah of yira? The Gemara in Kedushin says, gives a whole list of things that you don't do, right? Don't contradict them, don't sit in their seat, don't stand in their makom. Okay, so in other words, the kavod is a reflection of the things you do, and the yira is a reflection of things that you don't do. So the Ramban says, we could take that idea and apply it to basically kol Torah kula, that the positive commandments in the Torah, that's my love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The negative prohibitions, that's my fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the yira. So the Ramban says, if I have now a conflict between ava and yira, so the Ramban says ava is going to trump yira, meaning that love is going to be the more powerful force than that of fear. That's the Ramban on Chumash.
The 613, just curious, how many? They're more positive than negative, right?
No, more negative than positive. 365 negative, 248 positive. Okay, so the right, right. If right, I know, I understand your thought process. If they right, think about the Ramban. If right, that we should have more. There should be more Ava than Yiran, just quantitatively. Okay, but that's a quantitative. And I don't know if that plays in, but I did follow your thought process. Okay. That's the Ramban. Very good. So that's a basic rule of mitzvah of Esei Docha Lo Saaseh. Okay, now, if I'm saying all this by way of introduction, if you're thinking about it, if we're all thinking about it, so we realize that this mission of Yibum smacks in the face of Esei Docha Lo Saaseh. Right? What happens in the mitzvah of Yibum? I have a positive commandment in the Torah, Yibum. Right? My sister-in-law, I have an opportunity to continue the legacy. And meanwhile, what happens? Because she's an erva, so the erva is going to trump the mitzvah of Yibum. Okay, so that goes against what we've been saying now for the last 5 minutes. So what happened? That's the Gemara's, that's the direction the Gemara's going. Okay, so we're starting now on Gimel Amud Beis. We're towards the bottom of the Amud. Six lines from the bottom of the Amud. Taima. Taima dekas rachman Allah, halavach, yavem inachos, isham yavem es. So, had it not said the word Allah, meaning we have a drasha. Good. Without the drasha, I would have thought that in a scenario of Achus Isha, Yibum. That's what, without the drasha. So, my time of Damina, I say, Dochlos, I say. So the Gemara says, because of the principle that a positive commandment that overrides a negative prohibition. Gemara says, look, you're right, there's a rule. There's a basic principle that a positive commandment overrides a negative prohibition. But that's if the negative prohibition exists on its own. But here, it is a super negative prohibition. Super, what do I mean by that? Again, that's my terminology. Because it is a lo sase sheish bo kares. It's not just a negative prohibition. A standard, a baseline negative prohibition, the Torah has what punishment accompanying it? If violated malchus. Over here, for this negative prohibition, kares. It's a super negative prohibition. And the Gemara points out, sheish bo kares, midache. So we're going to see, this is one of the things we're going to be discussing, that once it's a negative, it's a lo sase sheish bo kares. There's no trumping. The positive commandment does not trump the negative prohibition if it's a super negative prohibition. That is question number one. And basically, let me just sharpen question number one. Why do I need a drasha of alaha? Meaning the entire Gimel Amud Beis took me through a brisa, took me through a drasha, the extra word alaha, the binyanav. Why do I need it all? I don't need it. Because even though we do have a concept of esei docha lo sase, that's for a baseline, a standard lo sase. But over here, it's a lo sase, sheish bo kares, and the positive commandment doesn't trump that. So basically, question number one is, why do I need this extra drasha? Question number two, vistu. And furthermore, lo sase great aminalan, even if it's a baseline, iser. Minalan didache. How do I know that it is going to get overridden? Meaning, question number two is basically, even before I respond to question number one, can I just ask a more basic question? Is basically what the Gemara is doing. How do I know that there's an idea that if I have a conflict between a positive commandment, negative prohibition, the positive commandment is going to override a regular negative prohibition? That's question number two. For the rest of today, what we're going to be addressing is question number two. Because question number two really is more basic. I mean, question number two is, basically, how do I know about the concept of aseh dochlos aseh? And then, not even today, tomorrow, first day of Yom Tov, we're at Daf Hey, we're going to then go back to the first question, which is, and then how do I know about aseh in conflict with a los aseh sheish bokaris? A super los aseh. Okay, so the Gemara posed two questions, and for the rest of today, we're really responding just to question number two, which right now is the more basic question. How do I know about the general concept of esei docholos asei? One at the very top of Dav Dalam and Aleph, the Gemara goes on. So the Gemara says, go to Parshas Kisetse, where the Torah describes the mitzvah of tzitzis again. Second time the Torah talks about tzitzis. First time is back in Parshas Shlach, end of Parshas Shlach. That Parshas we're more familiar with because that parsha we say twice a day, once in the morning and once in the evening. So this pasuk, the Gemara is quoting now, Perek Chav Beis of Kiseitze. The Torah says, "Gedilim Tasalach." I'm sorry, let me back up one pasuk. Perek Chav Beis pasuk Yud. Lo Sachrish Beshor V'Chamar Yachdav. Man's not allowed to plow using two different animals together. Lo Sabah Shatneis. Next pasuk Yud Aleph. A person is not allowed to wear Shatneis. Samer Upishtim Yachdav. Woolen together. And then finally, Pasuk Yud Beis, Gedilim Tasalach Arba Kanfos Kesu Secha Asher Secha Seba. And there's a mitzvah in the Torah to put on tzitzis, a four corner garment. You're going to put strings on the four corners that which you cover yourself. Okay, so we have in two contiguous psukim in the Torah a prohibition of not wearing shatnez and a mitzvah, a positive commandment of wearing tzitzis. So now the Gemara points out the Amar Rebbe Lazar Smuchim and Atar Minayin. So that's what's called smuchin. I have two contiguous psukim. And that's the principle. Shenemer smuchim adol olam asuim be'emes v'yashar. The Gemara quotes the pasuk at Tehillim. That if I have smuchim, if I have things that are next to one another, so that is that lives on in perpetuity.
Why not this pasuk, with the pasuk that you just read about the chamor? Maybe something that you cover the chamor should be shat.
Well, give it a moment. I read the pasuk of chamor. You'll see why. In other words, that also the Gemara is not going to ignore that. We're going to come back to that. The Amr of Sheshes, just going on a little bit further than the Gemara. Amr of Elazar, Mishum Rav Elazar ben Azariah. Minayin li avam shenafal lifnei mukashrin she'ein she'ein chos min osar. As long as we're giving general examples of smuchin, of where I have contiguous psukim with one another, the Gemara says, let me give you another example of smuchin. Let's say I have a woman who falls to a yavam, to her brother-in-law, but the brother-in-law is not the most appealing individual. The Gemara's example over here is that he's a mukashchin. He's covered in boils. Okay. So, just simply not that appealing. We mentioned on the first day of Yavamas, one of the reasons why, this was not the Tosfos Yeshanim's answer, but we asked the question, why are we starting with Yavamas? Seder Nashim. Yavamas is a place to start. So one of the reasons why, I don't know who said this, but I liked it, is the, I saw this in the notes, one of the reasons why the Masechta starts in Yavamos is because, in other words, and usually in a marriage, so the Shidduch is made by, by the parents, by the kids, okay, depends on what kind of society you're in. But in other words, but basically, we're making the Shidduchim. Okay, by Yibum, who's making the Shidduch in Yibum? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's strictly God. God's making that shidduch. So generally speaking, it's uncomfortable. It's a little bit awkward. Meaning, here's a woman now who's going to marry a man. There were no plans. There was no dating. There was no right. Okay. It just Kadosh Baruch Hu said this is going to be your new husband. Say hello. Say hello to your new husband. That's the mitzvah of Yibum. Kadosh Baruch Hu made the shidduch. However, there are limitations. And what are those limitations are? Let's say the man, the brother-in-law, is mukashchin. He's just simply he's physically, lack of a better term, he's grotesque, right? He's just a hideous individual. So how do I know? This is a Gemara's question. How do I know that the Yavama over here can demur? She can basically say no, not in this case. So the Gemara says smuchim, because we have contiguous psukim. So the Gemara says Amar Shesha Amar Blazim Shem Amar Blazim Nazar Minayin Li Yavama Shenafel Fenei Mukashchen Shein Chos Min Osam. We are not chosim her. Okay, an indelicate way to say it, but basically, we don't muzzle her. We don't basically say, look, I know, I understand he's unappealing, but still, afa pikein. So, shenema lo sachsum shor bedisho, usmech le kiyesh v'achim yachdav, because we have smuchim. We have two contiguous psukim. One about chasima, about not muzzling your animal. That is the pasuk immediately prior to the parsha of Yibum. This is the Perikhaf Hey, Pasuk Dalad reads, Lo Sachsum Shor Bedisho. When your animal is threshing the wheat in your silo, in your granary, so you can't muzzle him. Meaning let the animal bend over, bend down and eat a little bit.
Isn't chalitza unmuzzling also?
The method you're gonna do is through chalitza. That'll be the method.
You have that option anyway.
Understood, but Yibum usually She generally speaking, doesn't have much of a say. Meaning,
she can't do chalitza. She can't initiate.
No, the husband's initiating chalitza. So that's why I need a special drasha over here to tell me that under these circumstances, here she can voice an opinion.
So if the man wants to do ibum, she cannot ask for chalitza. She doesn't have the right.
Generally speaking, that's so. But now what the Gemara is teaching us is that if there's an extenuating circumstance where it is what I'll call self-evident that this is not something that she'd be interested in. The example the Gemara gives is Mukashchen. How far we could take this, I don't know. But agreed. But in the scenario of Mukashchen, where it's self-evident that this is not something that would be appealing to her, so then she can demur, and she would then have the right.
That would extend to psychological problems too.
Again, I pointed out, I don't know. I don't know how far we'd go. That's you and I would speculate. I would speculate. I wouldn't know.
Regarding smuchim, does it matter if the parsha are specifically, but they're different chapters? Like there's one.
Oh,
chapter.
So okay, good. Today we're going to give more parameters to this idea of smuchim. Okay, the Gemara is going to discuss it. Okay, so we have this idea of smuchin. So now we're using this idea of smuchin. So now, how do I know that let's go back. How do I know that a positive commandment overrides negative prohibition? Because going now back to Perek Chavayis, so I have the psukim of the Isser of Shatnez and the Mitzvah Tzitzis. Mitzvah Tzitzis is a positive commandment. The Isser of Shatnez, not wearing woolen together, that's a law. That's a negative prohibition. And yet the positive commandment overrides a negative prohibition. Meaning even if your tzitzis is a composite of woolen linen, there's still going to be a mitzvah of wearing tzitzis. The tzitzis is going to override the negative prohibition. Going on in the Gemara, Ve'amar Rav Yosef, Da'al Amar Aleph, about eight lines from the top of the Amud, Amar Rav Yosef, Afila Mandalo Darish Smuchim Ba'ama B'Misha Torah Darish. Now the Gemara says, now this idea of smuchim, when I have two psukim that are contiguous with one another, so that's not universally accepted. Meaning, as we'll point out in just a moment, Rav Yehuda doesn't subscribe to this concept of smuchin. That's in the first four books of the Torah. Breishis, Shmos, Vayikra, Bamidbar. So in those form of Chumash, Rav Yehuda doesn't subscribe to the concept of smuchin. But in Sefer Dvarim, he does.
Why?
The Gemara later on. Good. That's the right question. The Gemara later on is going to ask that question. He does subscribe to smuchin.
So.
You're good. That's a good question. Right? Smuchim is not part of the 13. Hekesh is not part of the 13.
Right.
Right. Yeah, good. I know you're expecting me to now give an answer. Right, it's uncomfortable silence right now. I like that. How strong is smuchim? We're deriving a concept of mitzvah sase dochalosa say. That's very strong. It's affecting mitzvahs in the Torah. So it's obviously very strong. Yeah, it's Halach Moshe Mitzinai. I don't have a good answer. The question's fantastic. Why is it Hekish? I added to your question. I didn't do much in terms of answering, but I did a successful job of adding to your question. Why isn't Smuchin in what part of the Yugim Amidos and Hekish also? Hekish and Smuchin, by the way, are very similar concepts. Hekish is basically in one pasuk, I have two concepts linked together. Smuchin is going even one step further. Smuchin is that I have two different psukim, but they're placed next to one another. In Sefer Dvarim, the Gemara now is going to make the argument, everyone subscribes to smuchin, even Rav Yehuda, who generally doesn't subscribe to it, but in Sefer Dvarim he does, for reasons which the Gemara later on will explain why.
Yeah, okay. I always find the principles are, it's like Kalva Homer is below extension. Right.
I understand, like rank them. I don't know. It's a great question. I don't know the answer. Okay, so lo darsha v'mishat tar darsh. Uve alma minalan, and the Gemara says now, again, the next, basically, Amud of Gemara, essentially what the Gemara is about to do now is just show us, just demonstrate that Rav Yehuda doesn't subscribe to smuchin in general, does not, but in Sefer Dvarim he does. That's all the Gemara is going to do now, and again, it does is solidify the point that here we are in Parshas Ki Seitzei, which is in the heart of Sefer Dvarim. So we're all going to subscribe to smuchin, and again, it's just solidifying the point that we know asti dochalos asti because of the two juxtaposed psukim in Sefer Dvarim. Okay, but let's go through it. I mean, now delo darish. How do I know that in general, Yehuda doesn't operate with the principle of smuchin? D'tanya benazi omer ne'amar machshef lo sechaya. We're going all the way back to Sefer Shmos when Parshas Mishpatim. So machshef a witch. So lo sechaya. So she's not allowed to live. Okay, so she is subject to capital punishment. Which capital punishment? The Torah doesn't say. All the Torah says is that it's a capital crime, but the Torah doesn't say which capital punishment. And we have another pasuk juxtaposed to it, which is that if a man violates bestiality, so mosimas they put to death. And we know that when it comes to bestiality, what is the punishment for bestiality? Take a look at Rashi. Rashi quotes the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Dechzib b'isha nirvas l'mehema d'meyem bam v'chol d'meyem bam b'skilahi. So we know that whenever you see the words d'meyem bam, literally their blood is in their hands, that's a reference to skila. And he quotes the Gemara in Sanhedrin that solidifies that point. We learned from Oven Yidoni. Yirgamu osam d'meyem bam. Okay. If you missed all that, that's fine. It's not fine. But the basic point is that we know that for bestiality, the punishment is stoning. And we have the bestiality mentioned in Parshas Mishpatim right next to, contiguous to, the pasuk of Machshefa. So, in behema mosimas. Okay, that's how I know that the punishment for Machshefa is going to be skila. So Amalei Rav Yehuda v'chimin Mishnah Samchuinyan lo notzi zela skila. So Rav Yehuda is simply can't accept that. What are you talking about? Just because there's two psukim are together, that's going to determine the punishment? In other words, Rav Yehuda does not subscribe to this concept of smuchin. So Rav Yehuda takes a different direction to arrive at the same conclusion. The machshefa will be stoned, but not because of smuchin, but because of what we'll right now call a binyanav. It's not exactly a binyanav. It's a little bit more complicated than that. But again, the point is that Rav Yehuda doesn't subscribe to smuchin. And meanwhile, now we're going to make the second half of the point, which is that when it comes to Sefer Dvarim and there are contiguous psukim, Rav Yehuda does subscribe to smuchin. No, say Adam Anusas Avim Mafutas Avim Anusas Beno Mafutas Beno. A man can marry a woman that slept with his father or a woman that slept with his son. Again, we know that if your father married a woman and he divorced or he died, so you can't marry that woman. That woman's an erva. Right, that's what's called Ashes Av, the wife of your father. Ashes Beno, otherwise known as Kolaso, another woman that you're not allowed to marry. Not allowed to, it's an Erva, one of the Arayas. But we're discussing now, not with the father marry this woman, but simply the father slept with this woman. So is that woman prohibited to you? So, the mission tells us, it's a machlokas. No, see,
her daughter is.
Huh?
Her daughter is.
So
the daughter would be an Erva.
Yeah, agreed. Again, we're just talking about the woman that either your father or your son slept with. So, no, see, Adam Anusas Aviv, Mufutas Aviv, Anusas Beno, Mufutas Beno. So, according to the Tanakhama, sure, you're allowed to. Okay? So, again, it'd be a little dysfunctional, but right now we're not discussing the sociology, the psychology. That's not our issue right now. We're discussing the halacha. Halachically permissible, according to the Tanakhama. And Rav Yehuda Oser, Anusas Aviv, Mufutas Aviv. And Rav Yehuda says, no, it's prohibited for Anusas Aviv. Right, man's father sleeps with a woman, that woman's prohibited to the man. Even if there was no marriage between his father and that woman. Why? Amar Rav Gid, Amar Rav, my Talmud Rav Yehuda, what's behind the position of Rav Yehuda? Dichsiv, lo sikach ishes eshes aviv. So we go back to Parshas Kisetze. A man is not allowed to take his father's wife. V'lo yigale kenaf aviv. And then the Torah says, and that's not just true to your father's wife, but it's also true for your father's corner. What is that a reference to? Right? The Torah always speaks in very clean language. Right? The Torah doesn't use vulgar, any type of vulgarity. I don't mean profanity. I mean even when just dealing with basic halacha, the Torah speaks in a clean language. What does the Torah mean when it says kanaf? So kanaf shera aviv lo yigala. So the kanaf that saw your father, meaning if a woman slept with your father, so that woman's prohibited to you, even if there was no marriage between this woman and your father. So the Gemara says, and now, where did that come from? How do we know that the Kanaf reference, which is a very vague reference in the Torah, how do we know that's talking about the woman that your father slept with? So the Gemara says, Ksiv mi lavi dekra. Gemara says, because all you need to do is just stay right there in that parsha and move up a pasuk. Because the Parsha immediately prior is talking about rape. So that's how we know that we're talking about a woman that your father either raped or seduced. So, okay, good. So in other words, Rav Yehuda, how is Rav Yehuda arriving at the conclusion that when the Torah says, Lo yigala kanaf aviv, that's talking about a woman that your father slept with? Answer, smuchin. Even though in general he doesn't subscribe to smuchin, that was the Gemara's earlier point, here he does. Virabanan. Now, simple question. That's Rav Yehuda's position. Great. And the Chachamim, what are they going to do? So the Gemara says, according to it, right, they subscribe to smuchin, and let me just compound the problem of the Gemara. Not only do they subscribe to smuchin, but if you're arguing with Rav Yehuda, that means that you hold the smuchin throughout the Torah. So how are the Chachamim arguing in this scenario? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you how the Chachamim are going to argue. Gemara says again, what you're going to have to do over here is take a look at the actual psukim themselves. Yes, there is a parsha. In other words, we're looking right now at the very first pasuk of Perek Chav Gimel in Parsha Tiseitse. That's lo yikach ish es eshes aviv v'lo yigal kanaf aviv. And Rav Yehuda's argument is, well, it's juxtaposed. It's right next to the pasuk regarding rape. So the Chachamim say it's close, but it's not right up against. Right in the middle, lo yikach ish es eshes aviv, meaning that if I had the second half of the pasuk right up against the previous pasuk, I'd agree with you. But between the Kanaf Aviv and the Parsha of Rape, I have the first half of Pasuk Aleph. Lo yikach ish es eshes aviv. That serves as a, if you'd like, I'll use the term, that's like a chatzitza. It's like a barrier between one Parsha and the other Parsha. So the Chachamim's counter to Rav Yehuda is, it's not real smuchin.
Like smuchin.
Right. It's not, you have a chatzitza. So, okay, fine. So if we're not talking about the woman that your father had relations with out of marriage, so what is it talking about? So good, you told me what it's not. What is it? The Gemara says, the Bishomer Zelban Makasa Medaber, right? It's that first wide line that we're at. It's where the Torah is talking about Shomer Zelban, and therefore it violates two lavim, meaning that what is the Torah talking about in the unusual scenario? What would be a rare circumstance where, let's say, your father had a sister-in-law who her husband died childless. In other words, your father had a Yibam mitzvah opportunity, and now you, the son, have relations with that woman while she's what's called the Shomer's Yavam, meaning she's waiting for her brother-in-law to perform the mitzvah of Yibam. So, and the Gemara says, and by the son sleeping with that woman, that son will be violating two lavim in the Torah, two negative prohibitions of the Torah. Number one,
uncle's wife.
Right, it was his uncle's wife. And number two, right, number two, lo yigal kanaf aviv. The Torah says you're not allowed to have relations with the kanaf aviv, and in this case, the kanaf is a reference to this shomer yavam. Okay, that's what the Chachamim are going to explain this pasuk in the Torah. And as far as just stam, a woman who your father slept with and didn't marry, so the Chachamim would say she's mutter. She's mutter to the son. Adkan. That takes us now, and all we did in that last 20 lines of Gemara, I'm not minimizing, I'm just summarizing, all we did is just simply point out that even Rav Yehuda, who doesn't generally subscribe to Smuchin, he does subscribe to Smuchin when it comes to Sefer Dvarim. And now the question is, why? What makes Sefer Dvarim different than the other four Chumashim? Where we see that according to Rav Yehuda, we're going to darsh a smuchim in Sefer Dvarim. That's the Gemara's next question. So, over Mishnah Torah, my taima, the darish. So what makes it unusual, what makes it different? So, ibaitem emeshim demuchach, ibaitem demufne. So the Gemara here gives two explanations. Either because muchach, it's self-evident, or mufne, or it's extraneous. And Gemara's going to explain. So the Gemara says, look, let's use this as an example. The lo yigal kanaf aviv. Okay. You're not allowed to sleep with your father's kanaf. Okay, whatever that may be. It's a reference to your father's, a woman your father slept with, or it's a reference to Shomer Yavam, whichever way you go with it. But, a simple question. We have two parshas in the Torah that already describe Arias. They're called Achremos and they're called Kedoshim. This pasuk over here, why isn't it there? Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu specifically take this pasuk, which really is an Arayos discussion, which belongs in Achremos and Kedoshim, and move it over here? That's the argument of Muchach. Muchach is, it's evident. They're just simply by the fact that it's taken from a place where it really should have been, and now placed over here. Good. V'ibayzema mishum dim mufne. Or the Gemara says, no. Maybe the argument, another way to argue why Devarim is different is because Mufne, meaning it's superfluous. The Imkin Lechavachman Leikach Ishes Eshes Aviv, because the Torah could have just simply stopped at, don't marry your father's wife. And the fact that now, on top of that, the in that same pasuk, we're giving more, right? The loy galak kanaf evav lamali. What's being generated by this additional pasuk? So the Gemara says, must be that the Torah gave that what we will look at as an additional pasuk and simply say, look, it's mufne, it's extra superfluous, and therefore we darshan using a method of smuchin. Shema min alaf nuye. So that is the argument of mufne. Okay.
To the benefit of Rabbi Yehuda.
And to the benefit of Rabbi Yehuda, right? Because according to the Chachamim, we're always going to darshan smuchin.
So I'm sorry. Why does he consider Sefer Devarim to be like the only place?
So either because Sefer Devarim is repeating what we already saw, and not only is it repeating what we already saw, but in other words, we already have most of, if not all, the categories of the Torah already allocated in the first four Sfarim of Chumash. So now I have the Torah telling me, this is the argument of Muchach. Now I have the Torah telling me an Arayos discussion in Sefer Dvarim. Why is it there? Oh, for the purpose of Smuchin. That's Muchach. Or Mufne means it's just simply superfluous. Torah didn't have to say it at all. The fact that the Torah, because we already knew it. The fact that the Torah says it is subject to Smuchin. Okay. Top of Dal Amud Beis. Now, Gabi Tzitzis. No, Rav Yehuda for the first four doesn't subscribe to Smuchin, and five does subscribe to Smuchin. And again, all this is just brings us back to the first point of today. Really today we're making one point, and that is the positive commandment is overriding a negative prohibition. How do I know that? Because in Parshas Kisetze it says Los Avashanes, and juxtaposed the next pasuk is Gedilim Tasalach, the Isser of Shanes and the Mitzvah of Tzitzis, and the Mitzvah of Tzitzis trumps the Isser Shanes. Why do I know that? Smuchin. And even Rabbi Yehuda doesn't subscribe to Smuchin, but in Sefer Dvarim he does. That's a summary statement of really our daf up until this point in time.
So we don't accept Rabbi Yehuda because of inconsistency?
Well, and just
Yachid.
Either, huh?
What?
Yeah, because of inconsistency we don't accept his exposition.
Whether we do or we don't is it's important to know this, but I'm saying whether we do or we don't is irrelevant. Everyone says that when it comes to Dvarim, we darshan Smuchin. That's the conclusion. Now, Gabit Tzitzis Nami Ibai Thema Mishum Demuchach Ibai Mishum Demufna. And now, regarding Tzitzis again, we're going to give one of these two arguments. Either it's self-evident, either, right, because it's evident, Muchach, or Mufna because it's extra. The Gemara goes and explains each one of them. Ibai Thema Mishum Demuchach Dim Kin Lechtav Rechman Gabi Parshat Tzitzis. Lamayochza Kasve Hacha. Look, we already have a Parsha of the Torah for Tzitzis. Go back to Bamidbar. Go to Parsha Shlach. The end of Parsha Shlach, you have the Mitzvah of Tzitzis. Good. So if the Torah wanted to make all of its points regarding Tzitzis, it has a place for it. The fact that now it goes and it repeats it again in Sefer Dvarim, Muchach. Meaning there's a reason why it's doing though, is so, and the answer is, and the reason why it's because of Smuchin. And more specifically, because of Esei Dochalos Asei. And furthermore, Ibai Semim Mishum Demufna, it's superfluous. And now the Gemara is going to make its argument that's superfluous. Why is it superfluous? The Gemara says, look, the Torah says that you're not allowed to wear kalayim, right? But going back to Parshas Kedoshim, you're not allowed to wear kalayim. Shanez lo yala alacha. Lo so ba shanez lamali. And then the Torah says, you're not allowed to wear shanes, meaning that's the pasuk in Devarim. It's not telling me anything new. So, ani mitzrach tzrichi. So the Gemara says, well, slow down. They are both necessary. Because if the Torah just simply said, lo yala alacha, that's the pasuk in Parshas Kedoshim, I would have thought that any time you put shanes over your body, you're violating the Isser. Even if you're mochrek, even if you're selling sheets, garments, so you can't throw them on top of you. There is a very interesting Rashi over here, fodder for a lot of discussion. You look at that second line of Rashi, v'afilo mochrek sus, Rashi writes, she'ein miskavnen la'aznas chimam. When you're selling the clothing, even if it's shatnes, and you put it on top of you, just to either to move it around from one place to another, right? Everyone had that picture in downtown Manhattan, where all the textile, they're like moving it from one place to another. So you're throwing it on top of you just to move it from one place to another. Rashi says, yeah, but your intent is not to wear it. an interesting Rashi. Rashi sounds like because you have no intention of wearing it, so therefore it's okay. Right? Okay. The Darshan and Miskaven. Okay. Anyway, I do want to finish it off. So Kasser Echmanu Lo Stovashanes Dumya De Levisha De Isbe Hana'a. So the Gemara says no. In order to successfully violate, this is the kind of thing where you don't want to have success in. But in order to successfully violate the Isser of Shanes, you have to be wearing it. What the Gemara refers to De Isbe Hana'a. It's got to have benefit to you. So that's why I need the Lo Stovash. So the Gemara says, okay, but if all I had was lo sobash, where there you're wearing it, that's a lot of hana. But when it comes to hala, just putting it on top of you, so no. So that's what the Torah says when the Torah is saying lo yala alecha, even just simply by putting it on you. So imkin lichto rechmanu lo sobash shatnez. So the Gemara says, fine. So from that standpoint, it's not superfluous. I need the lo silbash and I need the lo yale. The Gemara says, but I'll tell you what is superfluous. Lo silbash shatnez sem upishtim lamale. The Torah then has to go out of its way to say, and by the way, you know what shatnez is? Woolen linen. I knew it was woolen linen. How do I know that? Mechtik, siv ubegi klein shatnez lo yale alecha. V'tan debe rev yishmol. Hol v'nemar b'torah stam begadim. Upar lecha kasav v'echad mehem tsema upishtim. Av kol tsema upishtim. So the Gemara says, basically, binyanav. Anytime you see the word baged, it's a reference to woolen linen. So just by the fact that the Torah itself says, lo silbash, by definition, I know it's a reference to woolen linen, because by tsaras begadim, it's the Torah over there spells out that it's talking about woolen linen. Tsema pishim dekaz rachman olam elishma min alafnu yei. So the Gemara says, that's why it's superfluous. The Torah did not have to go out of its way to say that woolen linen. And now that I've proven that superfluous, now the Gemara says, good. Now we can make our point that because it's superfluous, therefore it's open to a drasha of smuchin. So the Gemara says, look, I still can argue it's not superfluous. Because over here in Parshas Kisetzer, we're talking about Levisha. Levisha is more hana, it's more benefit. You're wearing it. And so therefore, I may have made the following argument. If I'm just putting it on me, draping it on me, woolen linen is the Isser Shanis. But if I'm wearing it, so then the Isser is going to be even for all garments. And that's why the Torah has to go out of its way to tell me, Samuel Pishtim. So Kasar Rahman and Samuel Pishtim, and King Lishtar Kramine. So the Gemara says, no, and that's not, you're not right. Because if that was your argument, we would have countered that argument with a simple counter argument of Gzereshava. It says Shanis in both locations. So the Gemara says, now it says Samar Pishtim. Without that, I would have thought that the Torah would have prohibited it. Now, according to Rabbi Shmuel, any time the Torah mentions the word beged, it's talking about woolen linen. And I know that Tchelas is a reference to Amra. Essentially, what the Gemara is pointing out is, even without Parshas Kisetze, if all I had was Parshas Shlach, according to Rabbi Shmuel, according to the Tanya Debe Rabbi Shmuel, I would have known that the positive commandment of Tzitzis overrides the negative prohibition of Shanes. Because by virtue of the fact that the Torah describes it as beged, beged by itself means that it could be made up of either wool or linen, and the Torah says tzitzis. Well, we might tchelas amri, and then the Gemara just simply establishes the fact that how do I know that tchelas is wool? Midashesh kis not tchelas amri. Because shesh, the garment that the Torah describes as shesh, that's linen, so tchelas is a reference to wool. So itzrich sakadach amina kederava. The Gemara says, okay, here's what I would have thought. I might have thought that we're going to be holding like Rav Damar Rav Ramiksiv Hakanaf Min Kanaf. On one hand, the Torah describes that the strings are basically extensions of the corner, meaning whatever material used for the corner, that's the material used for the strings. Uksiv Tzemer Upishtem, and then the Torah says, well, linen. Well, which one is it? Is the strings going to be made up of any material that the beged is made out of, or is it specifically well, linen? So Kate said, Temer Pishim Pochin Bain Beminam Bain Shlo Beminam, Usharminam Beminam Pochin Shlo Beminam Main Pochin. So Rava says, look, here's how you're going to resolve it. If the strings that you're using are going to be made up of wool and linen, wool, or I should say, or linen, they can go on any garment. But if you're going to make the strings out of any other garment, they have to match the garment. So in other words, if you're wearing cotton strings, the garment itself has to be cotton. If you're going to wear wool or linen strings, the garment could be made up of anything. So, right, most people wear, especially here in the high climates, most people wear cotton tzitzis. What do they put on as the actual strings themselves? Wool strings. So the wool strings can match any garment, but if you're going to wear cotton strings, they have to go on a cotton garment. That's Rava. So the Gemara says, V'atan de Be'er Yishmael, Leif Leif de Rava. The Gemara notes that Tana de Be'er Yishmael doesn't subscribe to Rava, because according to Tana de Be'er Yishmael, you're only two materials qualify for tzitzis. It's either going to be wool or linen.
Because that's definitely a beged.
Right, because that's beged. Because that's what a beged, exactly. Because that's what a beged is. It's the sakada mincha ki diyuka de Rava, hakanaf minkanaf, v'hachi kamer rachmana avid leit semer letzemer, pishin lepishtim. V'chi avid et semer letzemer, save, avat semer lepishtim, upishin letzemer, lo. So the Gemara says, even from Rava's standpoint, I might have thought that you should match the wool to the wool and the linen to the linen. But don't cross, don't put wool on linen and linen on wool. So v'chi avdei tzemel l'tzemel tzavei aval tzemel l'pishtim v'shid l'tzemel lo. Kaz rechman tzemel l'pishtim, da'fi l'tzemel l'pishtim v'pishtim l'tzemel. So to which the Gemara concludes that even according to Rava, without the additional parsha kiseitze, I might have thought that if all I had was parsha shlach, what you're entitled to do, and the only thing you're entitled to do, is match wool to wool. Wool beged to wool tzitzis. Linen beged to linen tzitzis. The additional parshas kiseitze tells us, I can cross. The linen strings to the wool garment. The wool strings to the linen garment. And that's why the parshas kiseitze is there to teach us the point that the positive commandment of tzitzis is going to override the negative prohibition. Ad kan divrei HaGemara for today. Good, we're up to right up the pace. And so essentially what we have now established is that the first, right, we asked two questions at the beginning of today. Question number one, without the alaha, how do I know that the erva is going to trump the mitzvah saseh of yibum? And question number two, how do I know in general that a positive commandment overrides a negative prohibition, a baseline negative prohibition? So we've answered the second question for today. Second question is, how do I know? Smuchin. Even according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's in Parshas Dvarim, smuchin. And that teaches us that a positive commandment is going to override a negative prohibition. We see this primarily by tzitzis.